Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to a special daytime edition of Smooth Drama. You know, we're going to do a twofer today. And today, our first guest up to that in our special afternoon Smooth Drama is recording artist Dar. So, if you want to holler at us, the number is 646-929-2037. Once again, we got a recording artist live from the UK, Dar. And if you want to holler at us, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. And, of course, as I want to hear from you, if you're too shy to call, feel free to email me your questions, comments, concerns, dick@smoothdrama.com. Or you can come jump into the Blog Talk chat room. That's at Blog Talk Radio. Well, blogtalkradio.com/smoothdrama. You can jump into the chat room, listen in, or you can go to my Smooth Drama site and catch it, smoothdrama.com, and you can go in and listen to us there. Add me. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me there. Follow me, I'll follow you back. I'm Smooth Drama on Twitter. Everywhere else, Facebook, my yearbook, Hagged, whatever social network you on, I'm Dick Hugger there. And you add me, I'll add you back, and we can talk a taste on it. Speaking of talking a taste, you know, for most of us here in the U.S., it was one of the weekends, you know, that a lot of people had the whole it's the beginning of the football season, National Football League, of course. And on top of that, we had the 9/11 celebrations. Yeah, I know everybody was extra patriotic this weekend. So, you know, it was probably, with all the madness that's been going on with sports, whatever, it probably was the safest weekend to ever go to a game. Any other time, you taking, sadly enough, your life in your hands going to the game, or you may, you're not supposed to, but it might be a fight getting in there. Luckily, I guess, because everybody was extra patriotic this weekend, nobody got hurt, nobody got shot or beat up or anything for their sports team, which is the way it's supposed to be. Just enjoy the game. And speaking of enjoying the game, y'all know how I feel about these little surveys that they have out here. You know, every, they these surveys, useless studies that we the taxpayers pay for all over the world, because, you know, I like to rail on the ones here in the U.S., but the surveys, the studies, they come from everywhere, and they are taxpayer-supported, and I always find it ludicrous, the stuff that they survey, that they ask the questions on, is some of the most ridiculous stuff. Like, I'm reading about the supercomputer predicts revolution. And what they're talking about is there's a study based on millions of articles charting deteriorating national sentiment all over the world, especially the recent revolutions in Libya and Egypt. And basically, they're saying that if you feed this information into a computer, it could help predict major world events. Really? That's the most ridiculous. I'm like, you need a computer to tell you that people are fed up, that they mad about being treated wrong, and they want some recourse. And that's probably why they mad, because you actually got paid to do what we already knew already, that people is pissed off and they're mad. Probably mad because y'all did that stupid survey and that stupid study and probably got paid over $100,000 to do it. But hey, who am I? I'm just a guy trying to make a little sense out of it. And speaking of making a little sense out of it, everybody's, well, if you haven't, there's that Westboro Baptist Church. You know, the crazy guy and his family who are always protesting at people's funerals, talking about how, you know, God curse you because you're homosexual or whatever, you know, protesting at people's funerals. I'm surprised nobody knocked them out yet. But anyway, the dude is turning his wrath on a new target, New York Fashion Week. I guess, according to them, it's the slut walk extraordinaire. Basically, their thought is the whole idea of the fashion industry is to make women look as whorish as possible and men look as effeminate as possible. So they're going to protest it because they don't want it teaching girls to be proud whores, as he says. They should put on some jeans and fear God. Oh, man. And I don't understand it. Of all the people that the police should be tasing accidentally, you know, they tase all these other folks. They never seem to tase crazy folks like this. I mean, if anybody deserved to be tased or get some police brutality, it's stupid people like this. How come stupid people don't get tased? That's my answer. You know, that's my question. Is there an answer for it? I mean, do police only want to get folks just out of the hate, but they can't see somebody like this coming 3,000 miles away and just say, I'm going to tase them? Or maybe you have to be really, really retarded not to get tased. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But I know this dude, he definitely needs a chill pill. And on that corny note, we gonna go into our first break. This is Dara. Coincidentally, Be Your Pill.
If I could be the spot to fire, times that we live, love is all we have to hold, to open up our hearts when our minds won't let go. I know you wanna feel the rush, and you're praying that your moment hasn't gone. I know you feel you've been denied, let me be the spark of fire, be the spark. If I could be your pill, your pill tonight, take you on the ultimate fantasy ride. If I could be your pill, your pill tonight, release the tension that you feel inside. If I could be your rush, your rush, your rush. If I could be your rush tonight. If I could be your rush, your rush, your rush. If I could be your rush tonight. Da-da-da, da-da-da.
Let me feel your feel tonight. I can see the spark to fire. Even let me be your feel tonight.
Be your pill. He wants to be your pill tonight. We're going to get him on the phone here so we can talk about it. Somebody be your pill.
Hiya.
Hey, welcome to Smooth Drama, man. How you doing?
I'm going good. Yourself?
I'm good. I'm good.
Excellent. And how's LA at the moment?
Well, I'm not in L.A. I'm actually in Oakland, California, a few miles up. But it's good. It's bright and sunny. I know it's nighttime there in the U.K.
Yeah. We've got a big full moon up at the moment, and we're all out there kind of like looking at the stars. So, yeah, it's kicking into the night now.
All right. Well,
so what's happening your side anyway?
Ah, well, you know, the same old rigmarole. A little drama here, a little drama there. We've got our presidential elections going on, so everybody's going crazy over our new set of liars. Huh. Okay. Well, we seem to have lost Dar here for a second. Let us try and get him back. Hopefully we can get him back here. We apologize for the technical difficulties, but our transatlantic feed, I say transatlantic, transatlantic feed, we're having a slight problem with. But in the meanwhile.
Okay, sorry about that, dude. I can call you back on a landline if that's easier. Well, we'll just roll while we're good anyway. So, yeah, no, I'm, as I say, big thanks to you for playing and supporting the KDX release, which is, as I say, it's a new release on the label that I run, which is Kusha Deep, and obviously sort of like you guys are probably the first to play it. So it's exclusive, obviously, on Smooth Drama.
All right.
So, you know, as I say, big time thanks for that, and... you know, yeah, that's really cool.
Well, we talking about your pill.
Yeah.
What's the message behind the song?
Right, okay. That track is really about when...
All right. We are definitely having our technical difficulties here. Hopefully we can get this settled here so we can talk to my man Dar. We apologize once again for the delays and the technical difficulties and hopefully we can get this taken care of. In the meanwhile, I've always been curious about the differences between here in the United States and how we go about things in the rest of the world. So,
hello.
Yeah.
Right, I'm pointing it right at the connection now, so hopefully that'll be a bit better. But yeah, just to recap, basically, yeah, the track's about really allowing kind of like people close to you to be that lift, you know, to be that, you know, what may be the wrong things to reach for when you're reaching that dark point, and it's really just about reaching for the right people around you to lift you out of the darkness, and allowing love to be the metaphor, the pill, if you like. So yeah, it's kind of just about, as I say, trusting the people around you that love you to lift you out of the darkness.
I like that message. A lot of people tend to delve into negativity, as you said, let the music be your pill, wash it away. Good music.
That's right, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's a key message to all the things that, you know, everything I do in terms of music production has always got, you know, that essence of reaching for sort of something better.
Okay. Now talk about your music roots.
My music roots really started with listening to American soul music and, you know, people like the whole Motown explosion. Obviously, I wasn't old enough to remember it. Well, I wasn't there when it was first happening, but you know, I picked up on that vibe. You know, love the whole Stax, Otis Redding, and funny enough, I mean, the Pill is a sort of a project on my label, but the other stuff I do is much more kind of live, sort of with a very sort of kind of emphasis on the.
UK, why are we hating? The UK feed. Can we get some love, UK? Can we let my man Dar come through and let his light shine just a little bit? Just a little bit. Hopefully we can get this problem solved, but I fear that it's one of those issues because of where we're at, relatively across the globe, although it hasn't changed anything before, but I just think that our locations is why we're having such technical difficulties. But we shall carry on and hopefully we'll be able to make it happen. In the meantime, if you're listening, I'm glad that you were able to listen and be all right. This is not good. Okay. We are trying to get my man back.
Dude, I'm really sorry about that. As I say, I'm trying to get a better connection now, because as I say, we're out in the country, right in the sort of this. There's no street lights where we live. Do you know what I mean? We're surrounded. So, you know, we're kind of it's very rural, so it's difficult sometimes to pick up a good connection. But you know, I'll just keep moving in terms of sort of trying to get as much info out as possible. But yeah, so it's, you know, my roots definitely 60s classic kind of R&B soul from the States, and the British rock and roll sound that was happening also in the sort of the 60s and stuff, and just merging that with 21st century production really. and making sure that sort of lyrically it's making sense and doing something other than, you know, what a lot of kind of stuff I'm hearing out at the moment's doing. Just, yeah, as I say, just try to make a make records that have a little bit of kind of depth to them, you know, and hopefully will resonate with people that, you know, around the world that want to hear good quality music.
Yeah, well, I think quality music is all about how the artist puts their heart and soul into it, as opposed to I'm making this record because I think this is going to be a hit.
I know. And it's obviously sort of like if you're signed to major record companies, which I've been in the past, you know, you are kind of under pressure to kind of repeat formulas all the time. And, you know, that can be very pressurizing for an artist that's in a deal that has to kind of produce, because, you know, if you don't produce that sound, you're liable to be dropped, and, you know, you're not paying the rent, you know, so it's a pressure.
Right.
You know, I'm in a bit of better situation these days because obviously I run my own label, so obviously you still want to put records out that people want to buy, but
right.
you haven't got the same sort of pressure on borders into sort of, you know, you've got to do this and you've got to sound like this. I mean, I was, you know, with all, again, I'm not going to get into slating, but I was signed to a major record company and, you know, and you were kind of given a list of stuff that you had to kind of, you know, try and make it sound like, oh, we want this sound or we want that. And, you know, you'd go away and sort of scratch your head and then you'd come back sort of, you know, a week later, give it to them. And then they say, no, we want something else now. So it can be very, very tricky being, you know, getting that combination of the right record company, the right production, the right team is a very, you know, it's a very delicate kind of situation. That's when it's right, it's brilliant, and when it's not, it's not. It's just it can be quite hellish.
Well, yeah, I think that because you do your own music that you actually like, it would be easier to perform as opposed to, okay, this was forced down my throat, I have to do it, and it would kind of come out in your performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, music, it doesn't lie. You know, it will resonate. When you hear something that's cutting it, you know it and you feel it. And it might not necessarily sort of be, you know, something that you're hearing on the radio, but, you know, it might be just sort of something that somebody's making next door that you tune into and go, wow, that's just that's coming from a very, very deep place. And that's what's happening with the internet. I think it is allowing people to make grassroots records, which is, I think it had to happen. I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
In the 70s, you know, punk came along and it changed the rock and roll kind of world because it had got very fat and ugly. And punk came along and it turned it on its head and made it sort of like, you know, just taste a bit of reality and not get too, you know, disappearing in its own, you know, shade of ego, if you like. And I think the internet's been the punk rock kind of movement of the 21st century. It's claimed casualties, but at the same time, it's opened up airways for people to express themselves, you know, just like we would have done, you know, when we were kind of, you know, in communities around campfires, sharing songs, that sort of thing. Now we can do it on a global level, which is, you know, it's liberating.
Yeah, I think when you say it caused and claimed casualties, I think it claimed the casualty of the artists who were just getting by because of promoter hype, as opposed to actually doing music that people liked.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of those got taken down. Now, I see you did a live album. Now, talk about, because you don't hear about that. I mean, we know people perform their songs live, but you don't hear about a whole live album nowadays. I mean, now, musically, I mean, how do you compose a whole live album? Talk about that process.
I think the record you're talking about is an album called The Soul Hours, which I put out on Kusha Deep a couple of years back now. And really, when I say it was live, you know, everything, that every component was played live on that record. There was no, you know, there was no real overdubs. It was literally just, you know, cut it in a take, and that's what, you know, obviously sort of like stayed with the kind of the final mix. If the take was good, it stayed. If it didn't, we just kept doing it again. And that's the way I work all the time. You know, even with that KDX record, which is a movement away from what I've been doing for the last kind of sort of 15 odd years, you know, and even though that works with, you know, a kind of more technical kind of way of producing. There's still an organicness to that record. I was, you know, basically that backing track came to me from Dean's, a guy called Dean who runs XRG Records, and it was, you know, basically he gave me that backing track, and I went away. I picked out where the chords went on that, and just then stripped it right back to a guitar and wrote the vocal. So everything I do is organic in that way. Like, you know, I can sit here and play Pill on an acoustic guitar for you, and it will sound, you know, you'll hear the song. Do you know what I mean? And so
that's what I wanted to highlight. I mean, I think that is what lends the authenticity to the music. I mean, when you say that, okay, I did it live, once again, you can kind of feel the spirit and the energy of the musician.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's again, you know, when you hear, you know, great, you know, musicians playing together, that's when the magic happens. Like, you know, Burt Bacharach would always say, you know, I'm just looking for that little bit of magic. You know, and it might have been in the first take, but, you know, he's going to keep moving until he feels that tip moving him. You know, the greats were doing that because they were working with people, and that's that synergy that you're looking for. You're looking for the synergy.
Right.
You know, Phil Spector was the same. You know, he would look for the synergy with those musicians to create the epic kind of wall of sounds that they were getting. And I think that, unfortunately, computers have been a double-edged sword. They've made people very lazy. You know, it was happening in the 90s over here, particularly when dance music had gone bliss, like really big.
Right.
And even I was kind of slipping. I'd come from the sort of the live band thing, but, you know, being signed to labels, getting into the more digital side of things, you know, people were quantizing your piano parts, you know, to get them in line with a beat. Now, that makes you lazy. Because you think, okay, I've played it slightly out of time, but hey, who cares? I can just spin it. I can spin it in and make it a block, and then get a loop going. Now, that, as I say, when you come now, you try and get people to play. You know, who a lot of people to try and play a sesh and be in time, and it's kind of like there's few and far between of musicians that can cut it now because of technology. I have a lot of people coming through to me. And say, oh, you know, can I just play it once and then you loop it? And I'm like, no. You know, I want the cut. I want it played. I want every chorus different. You know, you listen to the Pill. That's not, those vocals, which I did, have not been spun in. Do you get me? There's no spinning in on that. Every chorus is different right the way to the end. That's been sung live all the way.
Well,
you know, when...
Well, I wanted to add there, I think what's important, like you said, is making people lazy. But I also think it's making people who aren't really musicians feel like they are musicians.
Yeah, I mean, there's been, you know, that's always going to be the case, that people are going to blag in it. And, you know, this thing, people are making records now with just bits and pieces of other people's records.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? And they can download producer packs and they can stick bits and pieces together and make a whole new tune. Now, that's, you know, on one level is creative, you know, and it's making people make records on a different level. And I'm not knocking that. But for me, I'm going to let everybody else cut that and they can crack on with that tip. But I'm going to stay with what I do, which is, I would just, you know, I'm about approaching it live. If I can't sit here now and if you, you know, and play it for you live, then I'm not interested. You know, I want to be able to sort of go, that's a tune, that's a melody, and that's a song. You know, that's key for me.
Well, I mean, I love that and applaud that. I mean, as a radio show host, I mean, I love doing it live. I mean, there's something to be said, yeah, you can record it and you can add this and you can add this, but there's a different feeling when I'm talking to you live as opposed to I'm taping and cutting and adding.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's going to be, I mean, I've done radio shows, so I know what it's like when you're trying to sort of do things live and it's, you know, obviously there's an adrenaline and there's the pressure to kind of make sure it's running as you know, your radio station is called Smooth Drama, so you want it running smooth, you know what I mean? But you'll get magic from that, you know what I'm saying? And that's where
I feel, you know, music has lost its energy. I mean, over here at the moment, it's very, it's very frustrating to hear. I can't, look, put it this way, man, I can't listen to the radio. No, seriously. And I can't watch the TV either, because if I watch, and with all due respect, you know, music TV is letting us down, because it isn't playing music that really means anything. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I'll go out on a limb and say, do you know what I mean? I can't tell you the last record I thought, wow, that's a great record, because I haven't heard one for a while.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, I myself, I don't listen to the music radio and a lot of TV, like music, the videos. I mean, we all know it's going to be put the half-naked girls in and focus on that as opposed to a quality song. So.
And you know, that's the thing, is it's like, you know, a lot of those videos are, it's just, look, we were doing treatments for The Pill, actually, and I was talking to quite a few different video directors, and they were like, okay, so we'll just get a club and we'll get some girls. And I'm like, no, look, that's just, don't be stupid. Do you know what I mean? Get some imagination about you, and let's do something that actually.
Right.
It reflects the tune, do you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just because they've got lazy. It's easy to do it. Bang out another, go to, phone out a model agency, get 6 or 7 models in, you know, pay them a day rate, play the backing track, get the guy to front it, boom, boom, job done, you know, quick edit and stick it out. Now, that's kind of cool, but it's boring, and it's been done and done and done again, and until somebody comes up with something that's actually going to, you know, break the mold, and really people, this is it's people, you know, turning away and saying, listen, we've had enough, we've all had enough, and we're switching off. Well, and that's when the mainstream media will have to kind of go, you know what, I think we might have to just open up the kind of scenario a little bit more here and start kind of bringing in something fresh, because people aren't into it anymore.
Well,
and that's where people power is key.
Well, I think that's kind of what's been happening. I mean, we've been looking across the globe on the record sales and how they've dwindled. A lot of people will speculate, oh, well, it's the downloading and all that. And I particularly don't believe that. I mean, I know me, I enjoy music, I will buy it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the other potential risks in downloading, we all know about our computers exploding with viruses when you try to download illegally. I mean, everybody knows this. But I think that in making your point, also validating it or just jumping on top of it, I think that they want to keep real music out, because obviously you can't control real music and real musicians. So, but
you're not going to get Jimi Hendrix rocking up for Pop Idol. Let's put it that way. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah, well,
you know, but there's some great records being made out there. You know, I mean, like, you know, I mean, people like, there's a record out by Noel Gallagher at the moment, you know, from, you know, who's with Oasis, and that's a fabulous tune. You know, a fabulous tune. If you check it, it's called, I think it's called The Death of You and Me. Brilliant track. But is it getting radio play? No, you know, and it's a crime, because, you know, there's a guy that knows how to write a tune. You know, it might not be, I think it's got a lot of soul to it anyway, but, you know, as I say, the playlist is a more likely to playlist, you know, a throwaway dance track than they are something that's actually got a bit of quality. And also there's a real sort of age factor, which I think, you know, they've got to start opening the gateway a little bit to that as well, where, you know, they're allowing sort of like, because I don't think music's being represented by just one demographic age group.
Yeah,
it's become, you know, do you know what I mean? I think, you know, things need to open up wide, so it's like you could play a B.B. King record, you know what I mean? It's not about, it has to be about where the individual's coming from. You know, you could be 15, 10 years old and write a killer tune, and that's what needs to be supported. Or you could be 77, 80 years old and still be supported by the mainstream media, because what you're saying is valid. You know, I mean, I saw B.B. King at the Royal Albert Hall when he was 75 years old, and he would give any young band a run for their money. I saw James Brown when James Brown was 76, came over here and rocked it. And listen, I tell you what, James Brown would teach you about putting a show on. I mean, you want to talk about entertainment.
Right.
James is where it's at, or was where it was at, because that man was, he would sweat from the moment he came on to the moment he got off. And he was preaching a vibration of pure love across the races, man. And, you know, you felt that across the world. James could play anywhere and still people would feel it, you know, because the guy was electric. But, you know, if James was alive now and he was putting out a record, I doubt whether mainstream radio would support it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's why I highlight you doing a live album and being able to play instruments, whatnot, because at the end of the day, I mean, we all go out and you can go to a place where they play some live music, and no matter what, if the artists are worth their salt, I mean, they can move the crowd.
Exactly.
Live music never gets old or tired.
That's right.
Quality live music.
That's right, man. And that's the thing is, I think because, you know, you're talking frequencies. You're talking, you know, analog versus a digital frequency. And analog frequency is much more in tune with the human heart than digital is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, people will argue with you and go, oh, you know, yeah, well, you can get more kind of, you know, you can get more frequencies now on digital because it captures more top and bottom end. And yeah, that's true, but it still squares the wave off. And we're not square, you know, we're not square people. We're not born into sort of like that waveform. Everything that you hear in nature is of an analog vibration. So you hitting a drum is never going to date, but you hitting a drum machine is going to slightly date because of the way that it's been a sort of sampled or created. Or, you know, that the sound becomes dated. You know, you play a track from the 80s that was made with drum machines, and you're going, that's a bit dated, isn't it?
Right,
whereas you play a funk track from the 70s, and you're going, man, that's still cutting the mustard.
Right.
You play like Earth, Wind & Fire against, you know, I don't know, sort of Jam and Lewis.
Well,
who's holding the folding at the end of the day?
Well, I mean, that's why those groups still live forever, and that the majority of the disco and the 80s genre, they don't live forever. People don't have those records, and when they play them somewhere or somebody covers them, they're not like, oh yeah, that was the cut right there.
Yeah. Exactly, and I'm looking at sort of, you know, the kind of R&B kind of thing that's happening at the moment, and that's very disappointing. We sounded like we're really sort of slating the scene, but it's disappointing when you're hearing sort of people coming out with the same sounding records over and over again, saying the same thing. If it's not a chick dissing a bloke, do you know what I mean? It's somebody rapping about how much cash they've got, and it's like, come on, get with the program, we've heard it.
Well, not only,
you know, let's get some depth.
Rapping about how much cash we got on,
you know,
the end. Then you have on the other end, you'll have the quote-unquote cute little boy band or the cute girl band, and they rap about the quote-unquote trying to be innocent and pure. I mean, it's all the same. Now,
what happened to Public Enemy?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, they were like the Sex Pistols of hip hop, you know what I mean? They were, you know, people were frightened of Public Enemy from what they were saying, you know, Flavor Flav and Chuck D. I mean, Chuck D's, he's unbelievable. I mean, what a spokesman. You know, intelligent, could write a lyric that would move you, and it could move nations, you know.
I don't think lyricists are appreciated. And I mean, I wanted to talk more about you. Like, now I know you have an upcoming album. Now talk what you're coming out with your album.
Okay, right now I'm just about to record two tracks for a documentary made by a New York film company called Capriol Productions.
Okay.
And they're going down to Brazil and making a movie about the street kids of Brazil in Rio particularly, and there's some kind of political upheavals happening in Brazil at the moment as they approach their Olympic Games, I think is in 2018, I think. So there's a lot going on down there, and I hooked up with them and they asked me to write a couple of tracks for them. Their film's called The City of Hope, and I wrote the title track for that. Interestingly enough, they were getting pitched with a lot of people just putting computer backing tracks down, and I said, look, listen, I've listened to what you said, I've written a song, and we hooked up on Skype. I played it down the line to them, and they loved it. And I recorded a demo cut for them, and they used it on their fundraising little shot that they were, you know, running around getting a bit of money on, and it worked really, really well. So I'm just about to go and record that and get the production sorted on that in a studio close to me now, and hopefully that'll be wrapped up by sort of like mid-October. And then I guess there'll be probably another KDX kind of record to kind of, you know, to look at and maybe start getting some production and some words kind of written around the next kind of tracks coming through on that. There is an album already that I've written which will follow up the Soul Hours album, and that there's about 20 songs to choose from, which I'll whittle down to probably about 10. And record those, and hopefully that will be kind of in the bag for, I'd say, sort of spring next year. So there's lots of music going on, and I'm writing all the time, and I'm, you know, constantly sort of, you know, trying to just make better and better sounds, really, to be honest with you. That's the kind of deal.
All right. So if we go to Dara's show, what can we expect?
I would say you're gonna be it'll be a journey. You know, I'm gonna take you from one space to another, and I'm gonna tell some stories about, you know, things I've seen and people I've met. You know, some of the songs are about, you know, what I see going on. You know, and when I see other people having situations in their lives, I will pick up on it and write something. So it will tell a story from start to finish. There'll be, as I say, there'll be a theme. There'll be a lot of energy in the show as well, and hopefully people will walk away and say, you know, that was an experience that we, you know, I grew from. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's it really. It's about laying the cards on the table and being honest, bottom line. And I'm going out at the moment and just playing with an acoustic guitar. You know. And I do believe if the tracks work, they'll work live. And you know, so far people are sort of enjoying the music. So yeah, that's basically it. What you can expect is just an honest journey.
Well, I mean that's very important. I mean, you know, like you talked about in the build up of your song, Be Your Pill, that, you know, with how the world is and things can let you down, you need that release of music. When I come to your show, you know, I expect a good show. I want you to uplift me. I want you to take me there. I think that's what's important with the live music.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important with anything that you know, any kind of form of entertainment, whether it be reading a book or watching a movie or even seeing a kind of, you know, a hip-hop show, which is based, you know, sometimes it's based on backing tracks. I think, you know, whatever it is, I think it has to, you know, it has to kind of work on a level where it's going to sort of leave you feeling like, you know, you've been somewhere, you know what I mean? And hopefully that'll be the case with what I do. But it'll be a more of an organic kind of way of approaching it, really, in terms of the way I build the music. It won't be backing tracks, it'll be live, with a visual kind of thread going through it, you know. And you know, whereas Soul Hours was very much kind of based around the whole kind of you know, us going off to sort of fight these battles for democracy, and how, although that's important, how that, you know, there was a moment where I felt particularly that, although, you know, we're flying the flag of democracy, that sometimes we have to question that, you know. And so on Soul Hours was very much about not only questioning our patriotism towards kind of situations, but also sometimes the blindness of religion as well, you know, There's a track on that album called Let Love Be Your Religion, rather than Let a Doctrine That's Been Written Be Your Religion. You know what I mean? And that goes for a religion across the board. You know what I mean? It's, you know, the only true religion we really, really need is love, you know, and that's a human love across the board, you know what I mean, for another human being, or particularly love for, you know, for animals, you know what I mean, and, you know, and being in tune with nature. That's so key, because, man, most I'd say sort of a good sort of 60 or 70% of the world now live in surrounded by concrete. There's no connection to nature, do you know what I mean, and that in itself is not good for human beings to be in all the time. It's a recipe for disaster. You know, I mean, the best way you can rehabilitate people, right, is actually get them out of the situation and get them in tune with nature. You know, like I was watching, you know, because I'm really into horses, right? We've got a horse, and my girlfriend, you know, she rides. We both ride. We're both out a lot riding and stuff. You know, but I watched recently there was a prison reform going on in Texas, and they were actually sort of getting, you know, prisoners who'd been in sort of side for a period of time and actually getting them into rehabilitation with working with horses, like actually sort of like taking wild Mustangs and getting what they call a join up happening, which is to train a Mustang going from wild to being not tamed, but, you know, working with the individual, you know what I mean? And so that in itself is a revolutionary program to deal with people who haven't, you know, had the opportunities to express themselves in the way that... Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, most people that...
I wanted to cut in on that and go back to something you said when you were talking about the religion of love. I was listening to a documentary on John Coltrane, and he said something similar when he was talking about his disappointment in religion as the doctrine, and how people were more in tune with, well, my religion is right. And once they were stuck on that, you know, if your religion is not the same as mine, then you're just wrong, and we can't find a common ground.
Exactly.
I think that was very important. And then when you talk about the rehabilitation, I think the rehabilitation of prisoners is very important, you know, the second chance, and actually them working with horses or any animals of that kind, where they can learn to love something.
Yeah, but look, I think when you work, say, particularly with horses, you have to kind of get your ego in check. Everything that you've thought you were goes out the window when you've got something kind of like that's rearing up in front of you. Do you know what I'm saying? So you have to drop your ego, and you have to get humble yourself before you can approach it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a moment where you have to exercise your authority over the situation. However, when you're sitting on something that's rearing, you get humble pretty quick. Especially, I had a fall on Sunday. It wasn't the horse's fault. It was somebody tacked it up wrong. But it really brought me back to my senses. And instead of me sort of going, actually, you know, I'm confident I can do this, that, and the other, back to the core to go, okay, now what do I need to learn from that? Was I too cocky? Did I think I could sort of just get on a horse that I didn't know, that wasn't tacked up properly, in the wind, in the rain? You know, it's now made me step back and go, I won't make that mistake again. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they're constantly teaching you all the time. And that's, you know, the more that we can get back in tune with nature, I think it's the healing that we need big time. And music is key to that. Music is like the kind of the thread that will lead us back to where we should be as human beings. And at the moment, it's not, because you're living in a concrete world, listening to digitalized music that's coming from basically sort of very messed up minds,
yeah.
And it's just causing more confusion. Now, what will have to happen is music will have to come back to being, you know, you mentioned Coltrane. It has to come back to a realness, because that will be, as I say, the thread that will lead you back to the Garden of Eden. Do you get me? You know what I mean? And that, as I say, is not happening at the moment. What you've got, for me, what you've got is Babylon happening. Just pure Babylon. It's just, it's all, you know, it's throwaway, it's decadent, it's kind of abuse, it's kind of, it's in nine times out of ten, it's just, it's based on negativity. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Like you said, it was when you're at a recording label and they want you to do things under a set formula that sells records,
yeah,
which is mindless music, which is what's been going on over the past decade or so. So you have mindless music, you have the video games where people aren't comfortable being themselves. They're more in tune with avatars of themselves, fake representatives.
Yeah.
And so I think that goes hand in hand with your digital analog comparison, because our digital selves aren't real, and so people don't know how to relate to people anymore.
Yeah, it's weird, you know. Like sometimes, I mean, it's a phenomenon of the 21st century. But you will find, you know, it happens here. You know, I live with my girlfriend, and she's got two kids, but there's moments where everybody is just locked into their computer. I'm working on a computer. The two girls are there on their Facebook. And there's a lot, you know, I look at it and I think, you know, there's not enough. There isn't. If that's happening here, then, you know, it's got to be happening across the board. And you know, there's not enough communication. So I tend to sort of go, right, everyone's shut down. We're going out for a walk. We're going to go, you know, we'll always go and see the horse then. I'm going to work with the horses anyway for a good few hours a day anyway, so that gets us in touch, and we're very lucky where we live. But, you know, so it's not like all the time, but I look at it and I think, you know, that's, we're all becoming a bit screen obsessed.
Right.
And, you know, I know sort of, you know, friends of my girlfriend who have got boys, for instance, and they're playing on big screens, you know, war games constantly, you know, where there's, you know, man, the sound effects alone, you feel like you're on the beaches of Omaha, do you know what I mean? And you really are there, dude, do you know what I'm saying? And that going into the subconscious over and over again, I don't think it's a good thing, you know?
No.
I mean, we just had some kick-ass riots going on over here throughout the summer, and it was very interesting to sort of see where these kids are at, you know? It's got a lot of people upset over here because, you know, we have a relatively okay system over here. I mean, there's always going to be room for improvement, but for what, you know, these kids weren't, they don't even understand the word political. That's what makes me laugh.
Right.
They don't understand it.
Okay.
Because listen, you riot from a point of starvation. You don't riot from a pair of Nikes. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And that, you know, that's not uncommon over here also, because people talk about riots, revolution, flash mobs. And these flash mobs are just people who just, they want to get some Nikes.
Exactly. You know, they've got food in the cupboard. They've got food in the cupboard. And you know what they were stealing? They were stealing 22-inch televisions, walking down the road with 22-inch televisions. Now, that's rioting from a point of privilege.
Right.
Not point of need.
Right.
And so therefore their kind of political argument is actually technically null and voided.
Well,
you know, I think, you know, in the last 30 years there's been a lot of changes going on here, particularly like with people kind of working in communities to try and make things better. We had riots in the 80s, and, you know, fair enough, the things were slightly different in the 80s, but, you know, the police have become much more kind of multicultural. They've changed their gears. You know, as I say, there's been a lot more work within the sort of the communities to actually get kids, basically. I mean, look, I'm telling you, you know, from when I was, you know, when I was coming out of school, there was real sort of, like, you know, I would say economic deprivation in terms of sort of, you know, there were no apprenticeships. You know, you either went in a factory or you got in a band.
Right.
You know? But there wasn't, you know, I remember rocking up saying, oh, you know, I want to go on and study music, and people laughed at you. Do you know what I mean? What? You know, you're going to study music. You know, there wasn't the opening. Now you've got rock and roll schools where you can go and, you know, sign up for 3 years and be taught how to be a rock star. Do you know what I mean? And that's so, you know, it's making me laugh. And there they're running down the street kind of burning people's shops who are working hard to actually sort of, like, make a living and keep society straight. it just makes me laugh. I don't, you know, that political argument is, as I said before, it's null and voided. It doesn't.
I don't think it's a political argument. Actually, I think it's more they're driven by what they see on TV. They see someone else's cause, which is not theirs. They didn't care about it. They just decided it's an opportunity for me to get some free stuff.
Exactly. I was watching something on CNN today, and they were talking about America's poverty. And it was interesting because they homed in on a family. I think they might have been in Chicago. And I sort of, they were kind of really playing that whole, what was coming out of it was, it's a generational thing. It's nothing to do with the economic shakedown that's happening to do. It's happening because poverty thinking is being handed down from one generation to another. Now, I could guarantee you that if I was allowed to get into the situation and take, because they were interviewing a kid, he was 10 years old, and the mum was going on of how hard it's been, blah blah blah, they're living on welfare and this, that and the other, you know, and the kid was kind of saying exactly that, he was playing on cue with the mum.
Right.
Now, if the mum was taken out of the equation and somebody else was put in place and actually worked with that kid to say, right, okay, what's your aspirations, where do you want to go? Okay, cool. Right, have you thought about maybe sort of getting in and studying on this level? Have you thought about maybe working on that? Have you thought about actually getting into your community and trying to change things from within? None of that's going on within the family. So nothing's changing because no one's thinking out of the box. You know, millionaires aren't made necessarily by old money. A lot of people have come up from nothing because they thought outside the box.
Right.
They didn't just inherit poverty thinking from one generation to another.
Right.
And the media, by basically, see, look, the media, dude, they've created this whole credit crunch, even gave it a buzzword. Oh, it was a credit crunch. Oh, it's this, that, and the other. And then the banks basically caught up with the situation and started thinking, okay, this, that, and the other. This.
Let me, I got to stop you there, man, because, one, I agree with everything you say, but we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
Thanks for the support.
Tell the people where they can catch up to you if they want to hear some more of your music.
If they go at the moment to soundcloud.com/ Kusha Deep, that's KUSHADEEP, Kusha Deep at SoundCloud, they will be able to hear some tunes. If they want to email me, it's KushaDeep@yahoo.co.uk, or Facebook me on facebook.com/ Kusha Deep again. And the track KDX Be Your Pill will be out on iTunes at the end of this month. So, once again, and I'll tell you, dude, I'll send you some more bits and pieces over and we'll do this again. And if you want, I'll play you some of that stuff live. How's that?
That sounds great.
I'll grab the guitar. We'll get a good connection and I'll play it all live for you.
All right. Thank you very much for coming on the show, man. And I will definitely be hollering at you again.
I'm looking forward to it. Peace, love, and thanks a lot to the listeners as well.
All right, man. Peace.
Okay. Adios.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.